WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington. With no progress reported on a deal to end the government shutdown, there's concern airlines may experience flight delays and possibly even cancellations. This air traveler was passing through Chicago.
Not really worried. We've been through a lot worse, you know, with COVID and everything else. But, nowadays we can do a lot of stuff virtual if we have to. But, you know, the travel is going to be, might be an impact for us staying late nights at airports and having to rebook flights and such, things like that.
In California, civilians and military alike at Travis Air Force Base aren't being paid. CBS News Sacramento's Steve Large went there.
Congressmember John Garamendi represents Fairfield and says there are 10,000 members of the military and 10,000 civilians and their dependents on this base no longer getting paid during the shutdown.
People begin worrying about the paycheck. How am I going to pay the rent?
A spokesperson for Travis Air Force Base released a statement reading in part, members who find themselves in financial difficulties should notify their supervisor, first sergeant, and commander who can provide information on financial aid.
Democrats say President Trump is targeting funding projects in Democratic states, including a major one for New York City.
The Trump administration is freezing $18 billion in federal funding that was to go toward the Hudson Tunnel Project and Second Avenue Subway. New York is home to both Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and the Department of Transportation linked the leaders to the project freeze in its announcement. Vice President Vance.
We want to do everything that we can to help the American people, but when the Democrats shut down the government, we have to actually do a little triage to make sure the most critical and most essential services are provided.
Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
A Gallup poll shows 8 in 10 Americans believe military veterans have strong leadership skills, and more than half value that more than a government or business background in political candidates. Rye Barkat is with the group With Honor, supporting veteran candidates.
In the Marine Corps, for example, the average age of the average Marine is barely 20 years old. And by the time they reach 20 years old, the average Marine will be responsible for at least 3 other Marines' lives.
60-year-old convicted murderer James Edward Daniels, mistakenly released from a Miami-Dade jail last weekend, has been recaptured in Macon, Georgia, after a multi-state manhunt. Daniels, who has a violent criminal history, was nabbed by U.S. Marshals. Hamas is still considering President Trump's peace plan proposal.
A source close to the process told CBS News the Hamas negotiating team has met with officials from Qatar, Egypt, and Turkey in Doha, where Hamas said it is carefully reviewing the proposal before preparing its final response.
Correspondent Deborah Patta in East Jerusalem. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
New faces on the Bucks roster. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA head coach Doc Rivers revealed that when he first arrived in Milwaukee, he told GM John Horst straight up, the Bucks roster was too old and too slow.
John knew. We talked about it. I felt strongly that it's hard to win at the pace that we were trying to play at. We still won games and we were good, but, you know, I just felt strongly that we need more speed. We need more guys that can guard multiple positions.
The Bucks training camp now underway. College football. Wisconsin faces number 20th ranked Michigan. Kickoff 11 a.m. Saturday. Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill has already been sacked 13 times so far in just the first 4 games of this season. That's one more than the 12 sacks they allowed all last year.
Maybe changing up what we do pre-snap a little bit, trying to simplify some things. We know what we're going to see. We just got to be able to go translate it from the film room to the field and from practice to the game.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some clouds in the overnight, light winds, and temperatures in the lower 50s. On Thursday, sunshine returning across the area, highs reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Temperatures warmer on Friday as we'll reach the middle 80s. It's 57 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Dresser, the Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. We talk about workers needing an actual fair and living wage. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, don't give up hope. There is justice in this world. We try to deliver some of it every single day here on this program. And I'm going to be serving up a big old heap and helping of such justice for folks that find Charlie Kirk really, really problematic. Before we get there, of course, we are in the midst of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state contest. You can text to win every day, multiple times a day. In the 5 o'clock hour on this program, I drop a word of the hour. You text that in via the app. You get entered to win a couple of our daily prizes, either 200 bucks or gold jewelry, and you'll get entered to win our grand prize, two tickets on the club indoor level to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game. We even give you a gas card, a total $1,500 value. Man, you don't want to miss out on this. The word to get entered to win this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R, quarter. Good luck to each and every one of you. Full contesting rules, of course, available at civicmedia.us. I also want to remind everybody, we have created the special new phone number and email for you to tell your stories about how the big, brutal bill and Donald Trump's tariff terror are impacting you, your small business, your kids, and your family. That email, because every single one of your stories matters, is wematter@civicmedia.us. And the phone number, if you want to tell your story in your own voice, you might share it right here on this program, is 855-755-0771. Yesterday, I had a great caller. We were talking about Charlie Kirk and his rhetoric. Caller called me up and said, Maggie, you're so unfair. You don't let Charlie speak in context. You're clipping him. It's, what are you doing? Play the whole thing. And he isn't a racist. And I said, hogwash. Charlie Kirk's a racist. And just again, for the record, he should never have been killed. That is an abomination in a democracy. So today, what I wanted to do was take some time, and we're going to start with one of Charlie Kirk's most infamous arguments, and I'm going to break it down. I'm going to show you that the, quote, context argument is utter baloney. And I'm going to go through some other examples of Kirk's rhetorical tricks. And I hope at the end of this, we all have our feet more firmly planted in reality. Because if you want to claim, oh, there's context and nuance for someone who was so unabashedly racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, transphobic, every ism you can think of, and you won't give anyone else any context or nuance, it's time to look in the mirror. It's also time, I hope, for some of us to begin to open our eyes, to realize that we are being manipulated. Charlie Kirk wasn't a great debater at all. And I'm about to prove that to you. He was a propagandist who traded in isms and lies and misdirection. So let us begin together. And if you want to get in on our discussion this afternoon, I always welcome callers, 855-752-4842. Please be patient because I want to get through some of this argumentation. I want to hear what Kirk had to say so that we can deal with his rhetorical tricks, his propaganda machine, and then we can go to callers. So again, folks, please be patient with me. But I think this is really important. And this isn't just about Charlie Kirk. I'm using him as an example. But this kind of misdirection, lies, and propaganda is used throughout the MAGA movement. We're going to explore it today through Mr. Kirk's own words. Lest we forget, let's run a little bit of the Charlie Kirk montage, for which I have been accused of taking Charlie out of context. Let her rip, Jacob.
Comparing abortion to the Holocaust.
Absolutely I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
We'll deal with that today.
Trying to go rob her, happening all the time in urban America. Prowling blacks go around for fun to go target white people. That's a fact. Black crime is a major issue in our country. Why are you pushing criminal justice reform exactly?
Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know you do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
Now, the southern border is, of course, the great replacement. They're trying to replace us demographically. They're trying to make the country less white. It is an anti-white agenda. If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Taylor Swift is now engaged to Travis Kelce. This is something that I hope will make Taylor Swift more conservative. Reject feminism. Submit to your husband, Taylor. You're not in charge.
America was at its peak when we halted immigration for 40 years and we dropped our foreign-born percentage to its lowest level ever.
And on and on and on it goes. I could play Charlie Kirk clips for the entire rest of the program. Hateful clips. And no context will ever save that rhetoric from what it is. Okay? So let's dig in. We're going to use the black pilots example. And I want to give some credit here. This, I've borrowed completely from a guy named Jeremy Andrew Davis. He's an expert on manipulative communication as well as propaganda, largely focus his studies on Nazi propaganda. But let's start. We've all heard that pilot clip. So let's just hear how Charlie Kirk began his little diatribe about pilots. And I'm going to keep playing the audio so that there's, you know, John, quote, context. Let's play the first statement he makes about black pilots.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified.
Yeah, so that's racist. It's completely inflammatory. Lots of folks have emotional reactions to it. What it is a not-so-subtle dog whistle to all of the most extreme white supremacist right that is a core constituency of the MAGA movement. Okay, there's a reason that David Duke was like, man, I love me some Charlie Kirk. Okay? But now, here's this thing that people say, oh, but the context. Let's listen to what he said next.
Not an immediate,
no, you wouldn't
that's not
that
who
before.
I am. That's no. not what I believe.
Oh, that's not who I am. That's not what I believe. Okay. What is that? What is he doing there? He's creating this rhetorical distance. He says this terrible, terrible thing, right? And then he distances himself from it. This is called false distancing or moral laundering. Plausible deniability. You're softening that incredibly racist, completely objectively horrifying statement that if I see a black pilot, boy, I'm going to think, I hope he's qualified. Oh, but that's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But it is. That is not the end of the context. Again, he's trying to create plausible deniability. Let's take the next cut.
I want to be as blunt as possible because now I'm connecting two dots.
Okay, what's happening there? Again, you've got this anchor statement, this inflammatory, emotionally triggering statement that if I see a black pilot, I'm going to worry if he's qualified. Then he distances himself, softening the moral laundering. But that's not what I think. That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But I want to be as blunt as possible. I am connecting two dots. This is placing Charlie Kirk as an authority, as a quasi-expert, if you will. Like, he's about to reveal some hidden truth that, like, the system is trying to keep from you. He's got the wisdom and the insight. So he's now set himself up as the purveyor of a truth. Listen to what he says next.
Wait a second. The CEO has said that he's forcing that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job.
The CEO of United Airlines never said that. That is a falsehood. It's a lie. It is a straw man argument. It lacks context. It lacks nuance. And by the way, Charlie Kirk, community college dropout, has no actual expertise in, well, basically anything other than being an avowed, unapologetic bigot. He's mischaracterizing. He's misleading. He's lying. To be clear, diversity initiatives in aviation have never forced a single qualified white pilot out of a seat. Okay? That's never happened, and I'm going to explain to you why in just a moment. But let's listen to what Charlie Kirk said next.
So I see this guy. He might be a nice person. I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator, you know, trials.
Okay. So to summarize, he starts with the inflammatory statement. If I see a black pilot, boy, I'm going to think, I hope he's qualified. Then he morally distances himself with that. Plausible deniability, moral softening. But that's not who I am. That's not who I believe. What I believe. Then he sets himself up as an expert. I want to be as blunt as possible. I'm connecting dots. The CEO said that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job. That's a lie. That's the straw man argument. Then he makes up a specific example, which is complete and total hogwash. The dots that he's trying to connect are based on the lie that the United Airlines CEO said that white men won't get the job and that unqualified black men will, in order to attack DEI writ large. And then he makes up this thing, this specific illusion, this specific lie. It is called the specificity illusion. So I see this guy and I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator trials. That is a lie. It never existed. It's a false example used to make you think that he knows what he's talking about, which he doesn't. Everything that Charlie Kirk just did there is propaganda. Based on lies, based on strawman argument, and based on this idea that, oh, well, in context, he said he didn't really, really mean that. That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. But he concludes, and this went on for a while after this, of course. So I see this guy and say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator trials. I'm going to tell you why all of that is garbage and a lie, and that there is no context that can save Charlie Kirk's bigotry or MAGA's underlying bigotry. It is what it appears to be. We continue this important discussion on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where no topic is too challenging, no rhetoric too tight to debunk. We'll be right back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we're in the midst of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text to win giveaway every day, multiple times a day. If you text in the word of that hour, you'll be entered to win one of a couple of daily prizes, $200 or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize pair of tickets to watch Green Bay take on Minnesota on November 23rd. The word to get entered to win this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R, quarter. Text that in via the app, folks, not the regular way. That doesn't get you entered. Remember, contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. We've got a special hour where I'm debunking Charlie Kirk and, by extension, the MAGA rhetoric. They use the same tactics of propagandists centuries old, okay? It is the same old tired nonsense. I started with Charlie Kirk's statements about black pilots. What spurred this was, of course, a caller who said, Maggie, you keep calling Charlie Kirk a bigot, but when you listen to what he has to say in context, it's not bigoted. But yes, it of course is. So let's listen to the full put-together statement that I have been debunking in this last segment, and I'll bring it all together for you one last time. Take a listen.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Not an immediate. No, you wouldn't have done that before. That's not who I am. That's not what I believe. I want to be as blunt as possible because now I'm connecting two dots. Wait a second. The CEO has said that he's forcing that a white qualified guy is not going to get the job. So I see this guy. He might be a nice person. I say, boy, I hope he's not a Harvard-style affirmative action student. He landed half of his flight simulator, you know, trials.
Okay. Again, inflammatory statement that gets an emotional reaction. This is black pilot. Boy, I sure think he's qualified. It's the anchor. It's the thing that will keep pulling through all of his other arguments. Then he creates distance from that by saying, oh, that's not who I am. That's not really what I believe. It's plausible deniability. It allows friends to say, like my caller yesterday, John, oh, the context. It is effectively moral laundering, okay? It allows his listeners, his followers, to end up weaponizing Charlie Kirk's arguments, okay? It's an essential part of what he does. Then he moves on to, I'm going to be blunt and connect these dots together for you. This is positing Charlie Kirk, who is an expert in nothing, as an expert on DEI, which is a weird thing given that he's a white community college dropout who is a millionaire a few times over, who has a platform reaching tens of millions of people, but has not a single credential at all whatsoever to make any of the sorts of statements or conclusions that he's making. He then moves on to the straw man argument. Well, the CEO of United Airlines said that he's being forced to not hire the qualified white guy. That's a lie. The United Airlines CEO never said that. And that is simply a falsehood. But what he's doing there is scapegoating, right? He's shifting the blame for his bigotry and prejudice onto this external bad guy, this external villain, DEI, and unqualified black people taking qualified white people's job. This is also, of course, white victim inversion, where a dominant group, white folks, are now cast as the harmed party, which is stupid. There's also a bit of zero sum in here, but I'm going to save that for another day. Then he gets to the end of his argument where he uses this very specific loaded example, which is called specificity illusion. You name something specific, it feels tangible, and then you kind of just make something up out of whole cloth to make it all sound like it might be real. So he invokes, I hope this guy, he might be nice, but I hope he's not this Harvard affirmative action style student where he only landed half of his flight simulator trials, which is the exact place that he began. It's all layer upon layer upon layer of lie, misdirection, and bigotry, of course, all cleansed by his one, well, I don't really believe this, but yeah, he does. And again, all of this bolsters his anchor statement, this inflammatory, emotionally triggering statement that basically, black pilots are not to be trusted. But here is the complete truth about this. All pilots need 40 hours of actual flight time to become a private pilot. Most private pilot instructors require more than 80 hours before they will pass someone on to get their pilot's license. You need then 250 hours of actual flight time to get a commercial license, and then 1,500 hours to become an airline pilot on top of all of that, a commercial airline pilot. And by the way, if an instructor passes someone who is incompetent, the instructor will lose their license. So this is garbage. And by the way, we have an extraordinary shortage of pilots in this country. So yeah, no qualified white pilot is having his slot stolen by an unqualified black pilot. That's a lie. But Charlie Kirk and MAGA, through these propagandist tactics, more than centuries old, make it seem kind of reasonable so that people can, of course, then say it's about context. So remember, there's a system here. There's an inflammatory dog whistle. There's a denial or a softening, an appeal to reasonability that is likely a lie or a distraction. There's rationalizing. There's doubling down with fallacies, false examples, lies, red herrings, empty arguments, and specificity illusions. And then rinse, wash, and repeat, 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 repeat. Charlie Kirk isn't a good debater. He's a propagandist and a bigot. I'm going to tackle some of his other arguments on the other side. Do not go anywhere. We're going to continue this takedown of this nonsense on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Top congressional Republicans say they won't negotiate with Democrats until the government reopens. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
There are hundreds of thousands of federal workers who are getting their furlough notices. Nearly half of our civilian workforce is being sent home. These are hardworking Americans who work for our federal government.
House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries doesn't believe that expression of concern.
Everything that the Trump administration has said about the government shutting down confirms the fact that Republicans are delighted to have shut down the government.
A Gallup poll shows many respondents view military service as more valuable than business or government experience in political candidates.
The trust in institutions has continued to decline. The trust in veterans has stayed exponentially higher. We're talking 80% plus of Americans view veterans as a group that can bring folks together.
That's Ry Barcott of the group With Honor, which supports veteran candidates. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
New faces on the Bucks roster. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. NBA head coach Doc Rivers revealed that when he first arrived in Milwaukee, he told GM John Horst straight up the Bucks roster was too old and too slow.
John knew. We talked about it. I felt strongly that it's hard to win at the pace that we were trying to play at. We still won games and we were good, but, you know, I just felt strongly that we need more speed. We need more guys that can guard multiple positions.
The Bucks training camp now underway. College football. Wisconsin faces number 20th-ranked Michigan. Kickoff 11 a.m. Saturday. Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill has already been sacked 13 times so far in just the first four games of this season. That's one more than the 12 sacks they allowed all last year.
Maybe changing up what we do pre-snap a little bit, trying to simplify some things. We know what we're going to see. We just got to be able to go translate it from the film room to the field and from practice to the game.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Celebrities like Emily Blunt, Ben Stiller, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hanks, and Scarlett Johansson have all been vocal about their opposition to AI in the entertainment business. Yesterday in the Beats, I mentioned Tilly Norwood, an AI actress who even has an Instagram account and whose creator says she will probably be signed by a talent agency soon. As you can imagine, that did not sit well with actors. One in particular, Melissa Barrera, who has been part of the Scream franchise, recently said that any agency that signs an AI performer should be boycotted. Two prominent talent agencies, the William Morris Endeavor and the Gersh Agency, have vowed they will not sign the Tilly Norwood creation or other AI actors. According to Yahoo Entertainment, a representative from the William Morris Endeavor says they only represent humans. That's a very admirable stance. I just wish when they represented me, they would have returned my calls quicker. Seriously, though, it is a small victory. I hope the momentum continues. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some clouds in the overnight, light winds, and temperatures in the lower 50s. On Thursday, sunshine returning across the area, highs reaching the upper 70s to lower 80s. Temperatures warmer on Friday as we'll reach the middle 80s. It's 57 at our studios.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Cheers. beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Is your family being impacted by the big brutal bill? Is your small business hurting? Are you concerned for your children's educational future? Are you struggling to afford childcare? We want to hear your stories here on the Maggie Dawn Show, and we've created a special email and phone number so that you can tell us your stories, because you matter and we all matter. That email address, again, is wematter@civicmedia.us, and the special dedicated phone line is 855-755-0771. Tell us your stories. It is also, of course, the hour during my program when we are engaging in Civic Media's multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, the word that you want to text in to get registered to win $200, gold jewelry, or pair of tickets to the Green Bay, Minnesota game on November 23rd. For this hour is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. But we are in the middle of my, I don't know, dissembling, maybe not dissembling is the wrong word, complete rebuttal of Charlie Kirk's nonsense and the rhetorical tactics that he used to make himself appear reasonable, to give people an excuse to say it's about context, or he doesn't sound that crazy, when what he was circulating was some of the most debased bigotry that never should be part of mainstream political discourse. Now, we're going to play this next sound because it's a big theme here. Remember, Charlie Kirk is a community college dropout, okay? And he would go on these college tours and debate undergrads. Take a listen to this woman kind of calling out Charlie Kirk and his bizarre response.
Do you feel proud of yourself for debating college kids who are unprepared to speak in front of an audience like yourself? Hold on. You're 30 years old. We can agree you're 30 years old, right? Do you think that's a little bit silly?
How is it any different than a professor talking to you?
Well, Charlie, it's different because you don't have a PhD. You're not an associate professor. You're not tenured tracked. You have no peer-reviewed studies. You have no academic background at all. No basis on which to argue anything other than your litany of falsehoods, lies, misdirections, and just shock value rhetoric. And if you haven't heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, this is where people of a very low competence or information level think that they know a whole lot and overestimate their own abilities because they really don't lack the ability to deal or to recognize their own deficiency. It's basically a mismatch between confidence and competence. I can think of no better example of that than Charlie Kirk. By the way, Charlie Kirk, the guy who constantly called university and college educations a scam. And by the way, that's really weird, too, because I'm pretty sure every single one of the president's kids and every cabinet secretary and every single one of their kids, they all basically go to Ivy League colleges and universities. And everybody in the elite right wing wants their kids to go to Ivy League universities. So while they're sending their kids to Ivy League universities, which are less and less attainable or affordable to regular people, they're telling all the regular folks, like, you don't need to actually be competent about, you know, these very detailed, nuanced, advanced sort of learning modalities. It's fine.
And in fact, Charlie Kirk has made arguments about this very thing with these very college students who are just learning some advanced thinking in their major areas or in survey courses. They're not equal debate partners, but let's listen to what Charlie Kirk had to say about higher education. This is the tactics of an inflammatory statement, authority framing, and a false premise all baked into one. Take a listen.
Does college provide skills to the majority of people that go? Does a woman's study degree give you any skills that was going to help us fight China?
Well, you're taking, and I know why you're doing this.
That's a majority of degrees, and people that go to college are in the social sciences, are in communications, and they're in irrelevant degrees. A majority. So a majority of the 21 million people that are in college right now are there studying stuff that you and I would laugh at.
Okay, that's a lie. And it's based on this false premise that the only thing that might be useful in our existential battle with China are degrees that Charlie, based on all of his extensive studying, peer-reviewed, published articles, thinks are relevant. But to be clear, according to the National Center for Educational Statistics, bachelor's degrees confirmed from 2011 to 2022, the vast majority of those, 45% of them, were in business, health professions, biological and biomedical sciences, and engineering. Social sciences and history made up for only 7% of the degrees conferred in that period of time. So it's a lie. But then Charlie does, you know, the inflammatory, ridiculous statement with the specificity allusion to get everybody distracted and, you know, land a punchline in front of his audience. Take a listen.
Do you think that when we're looking at American competitiveness, studying North African lesbian poetry is going to make us more competitive?
How stupid. And he uses those same inflammatory, emotionally triggering, distractionary punchlines after laying down a false premise that has no relationship to reality at all. And he just repeats them ad nauseum as if that completely specific, illusory nonsense actually supports his point, which again is a lie. Listen to him say it again and again and again.
You ask me, we have way more than enough people that studied North African lesbian poetry.
You go to Cal to go study North African lesbian poetry?
Yeah.
Like,
we have a lot of people going to university to go study North African lesbian poetry.
Because they're willing to send their kid to go study North African lesbian poetry at Arizona State University.
My goodness. By the way, seeing a headline pop on the New York Times that it looks like the Trump administration is either firing or defunding the National Council on Humanities, because understanding history, literature, or art, that doesn't enrich American lives at all. But again, same stupid baloney, just repeated as nauseam, all of it based on a complete lie and fabrication and untruth. Now, here's another tactic that Charlie Kirk liked to use. And remember, he appeared hundreds and hundreds of times using these well-honed punchlines, laugh lines, these false premises, and debating, frankly, unprepared undergraduates. And he framed it all up, and this is what conservatives like to point out all the time is, oh, but he was such a fair debater. He was so calm and engaging. But remember, his appearances on these college campuses drew out many thousands, typically, of his supporters, large and boisterous crowds with MAGA hats and cheering him on. And so it was never really a fair fight for those undergraduates that would get up to the mic. But boy, it sure did make Charlie look good. Take a listen.
Guys, please don't heckle. I want to try to understand, because these words have a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
But you can't get, I know it's hard on the spot. I just want you to think about it, because if you say Trump is a racist, you should be able to easily give a definition of what that word means.
Charlie, how reductivist do you have to be? Racism, where a dominant group tells another group that's not dominant that they're not worthy of the same rights, access, privileges, jobs as the dominant group, because of their race, racism, perpetuated both on an individual and systemic basis over hundreds of years. But boy, he seemed like he was, you know, reasonable and calm. Let's talk about abortion and what Charlie Kirk had to say about that. Again, this will be Charlie Kirk stating something that is a lie, acting like it is a fact, therefore setting himself up as an authority on the subject. But all of it is ultimately just a red herring, but it trips up the young woman that he's arguing with. We'll go through it all. Let's listen to this.
What happens if you need a medical abortion? If the mother will die if she does not get an abortion, so what's your stance on that?
The only place where medical abortion is necessary is before 20 weeks, which is incredibly rare.
What if she will die? What if the mother will die?
Hold on a second.
Okay. Medication abortion generally is approved up to 10 or 11 weeks. Medical abortion in the second trimester is more complex and more difficult. But here's this, folks. Abortions after 20 weeks are rare. They represent about 1% of all abortions in the U.S. So really, if we're having a debate about abortion access, why would you use the 1% to define the entire contours of the argument? So he's lying. And by the way, he's implying that you would never need an abortion after 20 weeks, which is also a lie for the following complications: preeclampsia and eclampsia, placental abruption, placental previa, severe health conditions, folks that have cardiac or renal disease, intrauterine infections. Sometimes there can be lethal fetal abnormalities, severe congenital malformations, chromosomal anomalies that you don't identify or diagnose until after 20 weeks. These are all things that would actually make a discussion between a woman, her family, her doctor, and her faith advisor completely appropriate. But let's listen to what Charlie says next.
So let's take, they, for example, like, this is a very important question. Let's say it's 27 weeks, okay? And the mother will die. Why shouldn't, you could agree, why don't we just have the baby delivered by cesarean section? You know what a cesarean section is, right?
Yes.
What is a cesarean section?
A C-section?
Yeah, why wouldn't we just put the baby out by C-section instead of terminating it?
A complete straw man argument. A C-section is far more risky than an abortion. And a C-section doesn't do anything to alleviate many of the medical problems that I just listed. It's a baloney argument, and he just doubles down on it. Listen to this.
Because if the mother will die, not safe to do that.
You remove the baby.
I understand.
Threat removed.
I know what a C-section is.
But it's actually safer than an abortion. So every time they say this is for you guys, they say, oh, you need to have abortion for medical reasons. Respond, then have a C-section.
Here he is appealing to the crowd without actually responding to the argument made by the brave young woman that's actually debating him. And by the way, the video of this is quite illustrative because she's surrounded by a bunch of MAGA hat-wearing young men. It's a little intimidating. But again, he doesn't respond at all to her very valid argument that the woman's life is still at risk. And by the way, the rate of medical complications during C-sections is more than four times that of abortions, according to that little organization and research published by the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And then we'll get to when Charlie Kirk analogizes abortion and the Holocaust when we come back. Because these rhetorical tricks are tricks and manipulations. And you deserve to understand what's going on. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here for this discussion continues on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
We want to thank our listeners for following the rapid support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the rapid support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the middle of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win contest. Text in this word right now via the Civic Media app that you can get for free. Wherever you get your apps from, you'll be entered to win $200 or gold jewelry, one of our daily prizes, and our grand prize, a pair of tickets to watch Green Bay play Minnesota on November 23rd. The word to win via the app, get entered right now, is quarter, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R. I'm debunking Charlie Kirk's rhetoric. We're about to play probably one of his most famous clips. And here you have what is an inflammatory statement and false equivalencies that appeal to emotion. This is where Kirk compares abortion to the Holocaust. Take a listen.
It is never right to justify the mass elimination or termination of people under the guise of saying they're unwanted. That's how we get Auschwitz. That's how we get the greatest horrors of the 20th century. Those people are unwanted.
So you're comparing abortion to the Holocaust?
Absolutely, I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
It's really not.
It's 45 million babies. It's nearly eight times worse than the Holocaust. What's the moral difference between a small baby in the womb and a grown Jew who was killed at Auschwitz? What's the moral difference?
One
is older?
One is a person?
Okay. So again, 99% of abortions in this country occur prior to the 20th week. It is not a baby in the womb. This is a false premise. It is inflammatory. It is incendiary. It's garbage. Listen to what he says next.
What species is the baby in the womb?
It's a human, but it's
therefore, they should have human rights.
No!
They should have human rights.
I do not agree.
Oh, so small humans... No.
This is garbage. You use the debater's own words. You twist them against that person. A blastocyst is not a human being. It's not the same. But it's a good applause line. And the debater did reject the premise. He just blew right past her. Let's listen to the next one. This is more Kirk racism. Take a listen.
Black people are only 13% of the population, yet they commit 55% of the murders. Why?
Because black people tend to be in lower economic statuses because of
okay. No, this
CRT.
Is fine. This is great.
Basically.
So you think that poverty equals crime?
Okay, she gave up ground. Okay, she's not an experienced debater. She doesn't reject the premise. And here's what he does with that once she cedes that ground.
It's highly correlated, and there's a lot of studies on
this. This is where we
that.
Disagree. What an insult to the working poor
so
of this country.
So why do you think black people commit more crime,
first
Charlie
of all,
Kirk?
Okay, so now he's made her into the villain by saying that she's insulting working poor. All legit research on this shows an incredibly high correlation between poverty and crime rates. But let's talk about the fact that black communities and black people are more policed, more prosecuted, more severely prosecuted, have higher conviction rates, are sentenced at far higher rates and longer sentences than white people on nearly every single sort of crime and metric. A black person is 5 times more likely to be stopped without just cause than a white person. A black man is twice as likely to be stopped without just cause than a black woman. 65% of black adults have reported feeling targeted by police because of their rates. And despite rates of similar drug use, black people are arrested for drug law violations at significantly higher rates than white people. They are nearly 4 times more likely than white people to be arrested for marijuana possession. Black individuals are being arrested for street drug possession 12 times more than people of other races in the city of Baltimore alone. Black men are imprisoned on drug charges at 13 times the rates of white men. And the overall imprisonment rate for drug charges for black Americans is almost 6 times higher than white Americans. All of that context and nuance, Charlie Kirk never deals with. Here's this just straight up lie. Next cut.
Let me ask you a question as
no,
my
answer.
Go
on.
What percentage of blacks have a father around when they're raised?
I'm not sure.
20%.
So
80% of blacks do not have a stable father around. That is the most.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a lie. Studies of this, federal government, nonprofit groups over the last decade show that slightly less than half of black children live without a father. He just lies and lies and lies and distracts and red herrings. This is propaganda, not debate. And I couldn't close us out this show without at least listening to some Charlie Kirk describe how women are micro and men are macro. You know, women don't talk about politics or economics or sports. Take a listen to this.
Will women be as good at engineering as men? Person for person?
Not necessarily, but...
Okay, well then, how is that different than the Secret Service example?
Well, the problem is that...
Because the male mind is wired different than the female mind. By the way, men will never be as good... Hold on, I'll prove it to you. Men will never be as good at counseling or psychology sessions as women. Men will never be good at nursing or elementary school education as women. We have certain giftings as our brain is wired a certain way. Women are far better gifted at micro topics, so individual connection, empathetic type conversations, healing people that are past trauma and wound. Men are much better at macro topics, right? Trying to build a building, put a skyscraper up, trying to talk geopolitics. And I'll prove it to you. When you go and you see five women eating lunch, they're probably talking about micro topics, conversations they had, relationships, friendships. Men, they're talking about politics, sports, or the stock market.
Weird. I must be pretty macro, I guess. And last but not least, all this nonsense about how calm Charlie Kirk is, what a reasonable debater he is. No, he's not. He was just well-practiced. Listen to Charlie Kirk meltdown in 2018.
In that, Charlie.
I live like a capitalist every single day, Cenk. Hey, I live as a capitalist.
Hey, okay.
I live what I believe.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington. As the second day of the government shutdown dawns, there are no public signs of progress toward ending it. Correspondent Caitlin Huey Byrne sees effects already sinking in.
Ariana, who didn't want us to share her last name, was furloughed from her job at the Department of Agriculture, where 40% of the staff were told to stay home. She's a veteran who served in Afghanistan.
I'm really hopeful that this shutdown doesn't last much longer, so that the civil servants can get back to serving the American people.
The shutdown is also likely to slow down air travel.
And about that, CBS News Chicago reporter Azul Reze is monitoring the situation from Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Those federal employees, of course, include TSA workers and air traffic controllers. They're required to show up as essential workers, though they'll be doing so starting